Hello and welcome to the Screamcast, a slasher podcast. I'm Dan.
And I'm Olga, and today we're discussing Scream Queens Season 2, Episodes 7 and 8, entitled The Hand and Rapunzel, Rapunzel.
Put down your hair from your esophagus.
Intestines.
Oh boy. So if you've been tuning into our previous Scream Queens ones over the last couple months, you would know that we are... We've been struggling with season two, but I will say these are two of the more enjoyable episodes.
Yeah. Bits and pieces, yeah, as usual. Yeah. You know, can't give them entire,
like, episodes.
Yeah, great job.
Yeah, I'll say...
The hand was close.
For me, the only real issue with these episodes was that they were kind of boring. The second one specifically, mm-hmm. was that aside from, like, the really high points, it was kind of boring.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, neither of them were quite as cringy as I felt in certain things.
Yeah,
and
you're
right. I think partially because it wasn't as much about the Chanels being Chanel-y.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I really liked the hand. And I think that I think the second one has some really nice moments near the end as far as, mm-hmm. like, the mystery goes.
Right. All right, well, since we're talking about the hand,
yep.
and that one came first, let's dive into our rough little recap kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that the main plot in this episode is that Brock is really stressed out and tired, and that means that his hand is getting out of control and trying to murder people.
This is the culmination of everything they've been working towards with this epic, creepy parasite hand that talks to him. And
yeah, that's a new revelation. Yeah. I don't know what that voice was.
It felt very purposely overwrought, like, mm-hmm. Two-Face or Venom or something like that, where it's, like, talking within your own head with, like...
I have to give props, of course, to John Stamos, because, like...
Yeah.
You're acting against your own body part.
Yeah, yeah.
And the choreography of that had to be... That was also a direction thing,
but
it was definitely well done.
Yeah.
So,
well, I just want to say about that, like... This episode had numerous moments where I was like, this is terrible, but it's terrible in the way that I want it to be terrible.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is a fine line, where it's, mm-hmm. I feel like previous Scream Queens episodes I've been like, oh, God. But this was like, this thing with his hand is just like, so bad that I love it.
Yeah.
You know, like...
You're like, this is dumb, but it's so stylized and silly, and the tone is just right.
Yeah.
So, it starts off kind of as the hand really wants to kill Chanel. I would say that's kind of the overarching killer hand thing. And it's taking a toll on their relationship that I'm so invested in.
Forever. Those are the best two.
the best couple.
Banel. Shock. Let's call him Shock.
Shock. You. Well, anyway, another source of stress and anxiety for Brock is that that Munch wants him to do a big risky surgery on a patient that was born with, like, a partially absorbed twin.
Yeah.
So she has four arms and four legs.
Yeah.
That was kind of a cool looking patient, and I kind of liked how they involved the medical lingo of why he can't do the surgery.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of the issues with that and how he just can't do it.
I mean, it's a very interesting aspect of this season that they, like, kind of have, like, almost a procedural aspect with a different weird, like, you know, like, not to be insensitive, but it brings a whole new meaning to Freak of the Week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is, like, we're gonna have this weird thing every week where it's gonna, like, especially when you tie it into, well, we won't dive into it right away because I know you haven't brought it up yet, but the whole Chanel number 3 thing where it's like, they're gonna teach me something about myself as I cure them.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's very, like, classic procedural type
of
thing.
Making fun of the medical drama of, like, we have this group of medical students, and this is what they learn from this patient.
Yeah.
Really, really faux Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah. But as far as the surgery goes, I think, I like that they at least throw in that Dean was doing this to get back at Brock for not staying with her. Because otherwise, I was for the first half of the episode being like, I know you want the hospital to be successful, but this is just such a roundabout way of, like, curing yourself.
Yeah.
Like, why don't you have him spend all of his time curing you? Like, I don't understand.
Right. I will never understand that.
Yeah.
Of, like, you're still dying, and I don't see how them curing like a conjoined fetus kind of thing, yeah. how that helps you with your disease.
Yeah, yeah. I do want to throw out, mm-hmm. I feel like we're going to, because we are now, like, we waited 2 weeks to walk these two together and pass on these two together. There was the big break between things. We're probably going to make mistakes far as remembering things and things like that. Yeah. We're no longer, like, experts on this show. We're kind of just gabbing about something that, like, we somewhat enjoy. Yeah. And so I hope that's a pleasant experience for you guys, but, like... At one point, I feel like season one, we kind of were experts about, like, what happened in what episode.
Yeah.
We're not that way anymore.
No,
and
no.
We're just going to be upfront about it.
We're not super invested
yeah.
anymore. Like, we're invested in the mystery, I would
yeah.
say. But not so much the actual, like, man, I want to parse out every single
yeah.
detail and, like, flaw and character. I'm just kind of at this point where it's like, wow, they make a lot of tonal and... story choices that don't seem to always line up.
Yeah.
But yeah. whatever.
Yeah. Well, it's like, because of the big breaks and things, and because there were lower tier episodes, I don't feel like the urge to, like, go back and double check my thinking on things.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't we start this episode off and be like, wait, didn't they suspend Holt
yeah.
for... They having a murder hand and yeah. being a suspect, like
they thought he was the baby, yeah,
yeah.
And so, like that, like I have no idea, like what happened with that.
All of a sudden,
and
he's
even like
in charge of everything again.
Yeah, and then it's even like little things, like in the next episode we start talking about Grace again. And I'm like, I don't really remember how we left Grace at the end of season one, like
no.
you know.
But anyway, so Rock. Or I should say, Dean Munch invites this medical journalist mm. to come and witness and record
the surgery
because not only is it super risky and the patient could be paralyzed and die from all these other complications, but she's in heart failure mm. and now she needs a new heart, a heart transplant. So yeah. where are they going to get a new heart? So that's like a big piece of drama. Not really.
and he has to do it with his hands tied behind his back.
Right. Well, I would say that one of the best, we kind of touched on it a little bit, but one of the best scenes in this episode is when the hand really comes alive and you hear it talking.
Yeah.
And he fights it. And then all of a sudden the green meanie shows up behind
yeah,
him.
Yeah.
And the hand can see the green meanie somehow.
Can sense
and,
it.
Yeah, basically. It can sense another murderous presence. And they fight each other.
Yeah.
So who do you think that green meanie was?
I'm tempted to say that it was neither of the ones that we know of. My first thought was Hoffel because mm-hmm. they didn't seem that adept at fighting.
Right.
And my assumption is the one we don't know about is, like, the most dangerous of them all, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it maybe it's Hoffel, but given their interactions with each other, and also Hoffel doesn't seem to really have that much of a reason to attack Brock.
Yeah. So. She actually said she wants his passwords.
Mm-hmm.
She asked Cassidy for his passwords so she can annoy him.
Into killing Chanel.
So I'm
trying to remember why I didn't think it was Cassidy. Because for some reason I thought it wasn't Cassidy, but maybe now given the way we end the episode
mm-hmm.
with him giving Brock the new hand,
mm-hmm.
maybe it was Cassidy. He's like, oh, if you have a different hand.
Oh,
then...
like before he didn't care if he killed Chanel, not number three, but like mm-hmm. Chanel, but now he... wants to do everything he can to...
Well, no, I'm thinking more of... So it's hard to know what Cassidy's actual motivations are, right? But
right.
when he gives him the new hand, my first thought was, oh, the hand you have is too dangerous. I can't kill you while you have that hand, so I'm going to neuter you by giving you a normal hand, and then I can kill you.
That's not how I took it, but I want to get back
yeah,
to this when we're yeah. discussing that plot.
Yeah.
But anyway, to solve the whole... hand, heart issue, I should say,
yeah.
not the hand issue. A green meanie shows up and strangles Chanel number 10, who's the intestine.
No, yeah, my favorite. Intestine.
Yeah.
Intestina. Nice, that should have been her name.
Gross. Anyway, partially strangles her so that she's brain dead, but just enough that her heart could keep beating.
So I liked your theory here that this was Dean Munch and that he's not one of the green meanies, but he just did this.
Well, I mean, they even say it like the ink's not dry on this organ donation form. And she's like, ah, funny how the green meanie now decided to only,
yeah,
you know, not fully kill. Isn't that lucky? Okay, let's just do this now.
Yeah.
You know, it's just very suspicious.
And given that we know she kills people.
Oh, yeah, we know she's a killer.
So, yeah, I think you're probably right about that.
There we go. Yeah, that's my big theory. Now it's kind of for green meat. Like I said, I kind of agree with you. You've said in past episodes how maybe everyone will end up in the costume at some point or another.
Yeah.
So then we go over to the surgery, and Holt is cutting off all these limbs with bone saws. And, oh, remember how it was supposed to be a really precise surgery? And if you did this one thing wrong, she'd be paralyzed on her left side. Nah, let's just take a bone saw to it. Whatever.
I was really tempted to quote Spider-Man 1 and say, bone saw is ready. And then I did it, yeah. But I didn't do it loudly like I wanted to.
How many of our listeners have seen?
Well, I think Bonesaw is also just an actual wrestler who actually said that, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Also, Spider-Man 1, come on. People have seen Spider-Man 1. It's a classic
Probably
film.
Not for like 10 years, though. I know it's been a while for me, and...
Bonesaw is ready.
Okay. Well, anyway, Brock freezes up at the last moment as he's holding the donor heart with his journalist watching him. Yeah. Oh, and he has his murder hand tied behind him, so he's been doing it all one-handed. Mm. The journalist is like, why not untie his hand? And everyone's like, no, we're going to sing 99 Luft Balloons instead.
The best thing was the music crescendoing when they were successful. I thought that was really funny.
Right.
And I liked this sequence. I mean, it was ridiculous to all heck, but I liked how they sort of played up the, they parodied the idea of Chanel and him actually connecting. It's like this dramatic thing of, please let me in and I can help you. And then it's like, well, my nanny signed Luft Balloon. Like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is kind of what I do personally, what I want more of out of Scream Queens. Like, this is so ridiculous, but I can't fault them for making this choice.
Yeah.
Because as long as they're making a choice.
And it's not unlikable. Like, I don't dislike the character. It's just weird. You know, like, I was wondering, so they make a reference to, like, something about, like, in 83, you were probably 20. Why did you have an au pair at that point? And so I'm like, I was wondering if that was some sort of hint that, like, he's not the age he said he was or whatever. Mm-hmm. Probably isn't, but you never know. Just something worth mentioning.
Right. Yeah. It was, I love number 3.
Mm-hmm. So should we get into that? We should talk about the killing of the
guy.
Right.
So, the journalist is walking through the basement. He sees Denise. He's talking to someone, I guess also from this medical journal or someone, and saying, I've never seen so many ethics violations in my entire life. He's like,
and he thinks he saw Hester.
He's like, from the documentary. And I was like, well, sir, you did. And then is stabbed in the head by the green meanie.
Yeah.
Again, which green meanie? I'm going to guess Cassidy in this case.
It could be Cassidy. I wouldn't be surprised if it was Hoffel, because she doesn't want the place taken down before she can get rid of the Chanels.
Yeah.
It could go either way. It could be the third person.
Could be the third. Yeah. Maybe this is a boring question, but it is nice to, I think, personally, to take stock of who's where if it makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. So now moving on to the B plot is the wild and... you know, super passionate romance of two dead inside individuals.
Actually, I think we never actually finished off the getting the new hand story part.
Okay.
Sorry. Before we go into that, so they give him the new hand, and then it still says kill Chanel at the end, even though it's a new hand. So one would assume, Cassie says it's the hand of one of the extra body parts they cut off of that girl. One would assume that it's probably not, that it was a lie. Now, my question is, did he give him another murder hand that would definitely want to kill Chanel?
Right. Or has it infected the rest of his body now?
Yeah. Well, then my third option is my first thought was he's trying to weaken, because the hand was so strong fighting him the first time, he's trying to weaken Brock so he can kill him. But again, we don't know exactly what Cassidy's motivations are here.
I mean, I want to get back to that. There's a reason I didn't address this right now, even though I kind of put it in our list we'll get there as to why I think it is. So, the first thing we see of them is Cassidy is doing his, like, super martial arts workout in front of the swamp where his father was killed.
Gotta love that Taylor Lautner.
He's skilled. I don't know what to say. Yeah. It was, like, really impressive. And so number 3 comes up, and she says that she's come up with a method of testing him for this disease or syndrome that yeah. would convince him that he's dead, but yeah. that he's not actually dead.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some really ridiculous stuff in there, like, tell me if you think these people are alive or dead. Yeah. And it's like, a table, dead. Like, Bob Barker, and he's like, I don't know. Like, he's the host of The Price is Right, yep. if nobody, if you guys don't know. He's, if you've never been homesick from school.
Barney's dad. That's the right one?
No.
It's not Barney's dad? No. Who's the one that's Barney's dad?
I don't remember.
Okay.
But anyway.
Talking about How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, yeah. But have you never been sick, homesick from school and had nothing to watch?
I've never watched The Price is Right.
Man, you were missing out. That was like prime homesick from school television viewing.
I thought it was Bob Barker that it was his dad.
He wanted his dad to be Bob Barker.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I meant.
But not, I don't think it actually was Bob Barker. Yeah,
I was referencing the joke, though. Oh,
I don't remember. Anyway. She diagnoses Cassidy with this, and he's relieved that he is actually alive.
Yeah.
But she also realizes that he is a psychopath, which mm-hmm. probably means that he's a green meanie.
Yeah. Can I take us off track for one second?
Please.
Okay, so I was saying earlier, you gotta love that Taylor Lautner. And I do think, isn't it crazy how just a few years can change things so much that, like, if this show came out like 3 or 4 years ago mm-hmm. when Taylor Lautner was Taylor Lautner,
yeah.
like this show would be a smash hit.
Yeah.
Like Taylor Lautner's in a weekly TV show, the amount of girls who are in love with him, ugh. Like it's yeah. so like it Woo. Is crazy.
There was a time High School Olga would be all over that, but that was a while ago now. So
he's a psychopath.
Yeah, he's a psychopath.
This is a fun turn of events. This is probably my favorite plot line of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
That he figured out he's the killer, but then it's like, oh, do I have to tell people that he's the killer?
Yeah, I actually really liked her. Like, well, oh, when she's talking to that dead woman, yeah, where yeah. I actually was expecting that someone would overhear that conversation. Mm.
Yeah.
But where she, I really like that, where it's like, well, I mean, maybe I could change him, or I'll keep the passion alive enough where he won't want to kill me. But then again, might not work, and he'll just kill me anyway. But, you know, I really...
Good motivation.
Yeah. Says, yeah. yeah. And she makes number 5, promise not to tell anyone by bribing her with candy. Love it.
Quality number 5.
Definitely. So anyway, the patient and his clingy girlfriend come in, mm-hmm. and he's got... like skin condition and abdominal pain or yeah. all of this. And
I don't think we have to go into full details.
No,
on that
but the
line,
point
but
of it is yeah. that patient was actually poisoning himself to keep away from the girlfriend. And,
yeah.
and the big deal here is that number 3 was seeing how much the girlfriend loved her boyfriend in spite of everything, that it gave her like hope
for love and life.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that she wasn't, and she admits that she loves Cassidy yeah. and knows he's the green meanie, but isn't going to tell anyone.
Mm.
And he admits that
yeah, he's the green
he's
meanie.
He's the green meanie, but he loves her, but he's only going to kill Chanel. Dilemma.
So we end out, after they have a sort of conflict there, mm-hmm. once they realize that true love might not exist, but they sort of end out with him being like, you know what? I won't kill you or Chanel, but I'm not going to tell you who the other killer is.
Right.
And she's like, ah.
Why not? Yeah. And the reason is that Hoffel is... So here's another thing. It seems like Hoffel overheard number 3 saying that she knows.
Well, I think the main thing she overheard was that, what was the main thing that she took away, that she ended up talking with Cassidy about?
That Holt's hand
oh,
is
yeah.
murderous. And she's yeah. like, you need to give me his password so I can annoy him.
Yeah, yeah,
and therefore he will kill Chanel.
Yeah, because I was surprised mm-hmm. because I thought when Hoffel met up with Cassidy, she was going to be like, oh, I think that 3 knows you have to kill her.
Yeah. But that was more of her long-term, like, I want all the Chanels yeah. dead eventually. And he's like, yeah. can we not kill number 3?
I want to bone her.
Yeah, right? And she was like, no, you need to kill all of them or else I will say that you are the green meanie.
Yeah.
Go to the police. So he's kind of stuck in the rock in a hard place, but then can't he report her too?
Well, I'm also just like, why doesn't he just kill Hoffel at this point?
Right?
Like,
I thought that would be his plan.
Yeah.
But instead...
But Hoffel has to still be on the show for some god.
Yeah, I seriously hate her.
Yeah, she's the worst.
But so here's the thing. It was after he walks away from number 3 saying, I'll yeah. do everything I can to protect you and Chanel.
Yeah.
That's when he gives Brock his new hand, yeah. which is why I'm thinking, like, he wants to stay with number 3. So yeah. he doesn't want Brock to...
I just don't know if I can trust that fellow.
Okay, that's fair, yeah. But I kind of, I don't know, I bought you into love the them. Romance Hashtag plot. Ship. No, I ship, what's their ship name? Number three and Cassidy. Thracity?
Thracity. Number Cassidy.
Number Cassidy, I'm down with that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I really enjoy their presence, their chemistry together. Mm-hmm. I was saying to you, the one bummer that I feel, I don't need number three to be like a lesbian. I'm fine with her being bi and being with a guy this season, mm-hmm. but they basically haven't mentioned her queerness at all this season, mm-hmm. and that's a little strange.
Yeah, especially since they did mention number five going off of her meds, mm-hmm. but not number three having... Yeah. Like a romance with one of the nurses.
Well, yeah, and then we already had the whole Sam thing. It was a repeated thing going on here, mm-hmm. And also just given that, you know, given Ryan Murphy, and we don't have any other queer. Oh, we had the twink, quote unquote. But like, yeah, we don't have any like. It's surprising that we have a Ryan Murphy show without a positive gay representation right now, well, or at least an attempted positive gay representation.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
yeah, you know, like
I'm like trying to think about American Horror Story. I'm like, yeah. I don't know if I would agree with you there, but
yeah,
I see what you mean.
Yeah, something about it on Fox, especially given first season and everything, but you know, the Glee connection and all that. But.
Yeah, well. All right, those. Do you have any final thoughts on the hand?
Simply that I really enjoy how Hester has been handled. I think she had a couple of nice little lines here, mm-hmm. and she's just. I'm torn. Wait, on the
was
fact
that in this episode?
In both episodes,
she had okay. really I don't remember that.
Yeah, so
the
in the hand, that's when she's like, "I'm not going to tell you who it is, but you're probably right. okay with Brock."
Right. Okay.
And like,
that was nice.
And she's like, "Ask number three about her romance."
Right. That's yeah, when yeah. that's when Hoffel overheard. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So I forgot.
I
think.
I mean, in some ways, without Chad, I almost wish we had more Hester. Mm-hmm. But in the same way, at the same time, they are smart in that they're doling it out in small doses.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Delia Michelle's doing a great job.
Oh yeah. She's fun now that she gets to be like full psycho.
Yeah.
All right, so, Rapunzel.
The return of everybody's favorite character.
Wes. Something.
Wesley. Wyndham
Price. I don't remember his last name.
Yeah.
Was that a Gossip Girl reference?
Wesley Wyndham Price is from Angel and Buffy.
Oh, okay. I'm too young to know those shows. No, I'm just kidding. That's like a gap in my pop culture knowledge. All right, so Wes is back.
Yeah.
With severe abdominal pain.
Due to hair eating.
What was it, like tryptophobia?
I did not pay attention to this part because it was horrifying.
It was nasty. That hairball was disgusting. And what's worse is I've seen real ones from like medical shows.
I don't want to know about this. Let's not talk about hair ever again.
Hair. Okay.
The discussion of hair is off the table.
Ooh. So... He says that after Munch left him, that his life was ruined, and he started eating his hair. And the reason Munch left, Munch had driven a wedge between him and Grace by, you know, making him ignore Grace, yeah. and then his...
Taking him away to a faraway land, and then...
Rural Oregon, I think, or something. Yeah. And his brewery failed, and his book on quarters failed, because...
Yeah.
No one could agree that it was the best coin. Hey, I'm on board with that.
And, I mean, he wouldn't do trigger warnings before his horror movies, so he got fired, which is pretty much his fault.
Yeah, although I would say that is kind of, that was the one thing of this episode where it was like, ooh, it's close to reality. Yeah. Like, the one thing.
Well, my question is, so were his classes just film classes, or were they, like, if it was a horror class, I feel like that is the trigger warning.
Right. Like... Yeah, you'd think that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. But anyway, he has the surgery, and then he and Munch start flirting again, and...
Banging.
Get back together and make everyone really... See, in those scenes where
yeah.
people are saying really gross or weird things, I love watching people's faces and reactions. Because
yeah.
that's where you can really... It's just a really good time.
Yeah, yeah.
Just reading the room.
There's a lot of sex in this episode.
Yeah.
None of it's sexy.
Oh, God. So not sexy. Ugh. Ugh. So, actually, going right to that,
yeah.
We see Holt and
Chanel's amazing sex life.
Oh my god. She's too pretty to do anything. She just lies there and looks at her phone and takes selfies on Snapchat.
Gotta love it. Gotta love that filter.
So I know that it was not real.
Yeah.
But seeing John Stamos, like someone his age, yeah. you know, 50s, I think. Yeah. Late 40s, early 50s, I'm assuming.
Something like that.
Like, leaning over a 20-something-year-old Emma Roberts.
Boning down.
And, like, under the cover. It's just uncomfortable. It's just like, this is gross.
I don't know. I don't feel that.
I felt nasty. It felt nasty. And honestly,
he's John Stamos. He doesn't count.
Doesn't he? I mean, he doesn't, but he does. Like, it freaked me out when you see the angle of, like, he's leaning over her from underneath and he's shirtless and you're just like,
no, it's John Stamos. It's okay. No,
it felt really weird.
He's been grandfathered.
Ugh, gross. Ew, ew. But anyway, he's so bored by Chanel that he starts imagining he's having sex with Kathy.
Yeah.
Kathy. No, I said Bathy. Like, that was...
Oh, that joke.
Fucking weird.
So let's move on from this part, because this was definitely the low point of the episode.
Was it? No, Dan. It was not the low point of the episode. What was the low point,
then?
What's the gag?
Oh, my God. Fucking Zayday.
What's the gag? I wanted to throttle her.
Oh, Zayday. You think you're... Oh, God in heaven, Zayday.
Like, is that a term? Is that a saying?
All I know also, is that breaking... I wanted to see her gag to death after.
All I'm saying is she was breaking all kinds of patient regulation law, like medical information laws. I know that's not the point, but that said,
it is the point, because it's Zayday. It's not the
Chanel.
Right,
okay. It is You're
the,
right.
That's the thing. Zayday was a mistake. Like, the way they've handled her as the protagonist, first of all, like, it's very unclear that she even is the protagonist.
I don't think she is.
She wasn't in the hand, and I didn't care or notice until the end.
I didn't remember until the end, yeah.
She's just the investigator, and she's supposed to be the straight man.
And smart.
And she's supposed to be smart and surrounded by morons. Mm-hmm. But time and time again, they flip-flop on how smart she is, how normal she is. And you're supposed to like and see, that's the thing is, I'm not supposed to sympathize with Chanel. They want me to care about Zayday.
Mm-hmm.
And yet she is breaking patient confidentiality. She's making these ridiculous remarks. She's not being intelligent or safe about her actions. Like,
and she's just being straight up annoying and not funny. Yeah. Like, the character has very little redemption to it, in my opinion.
And yeah, she doesn't... The only personal, like, all of her entire storyline is just a plot device of learning new information about the killer.
Mm-hmm.
And then this little side thing with Chamberlain, which I don't even, like, were we supposed to, like, want them to get together?
I don't. I mean, like, I like Chamberlain, I suppose. I kind of...
For the first 4 or 5 episodes,
mm-hmm.
I did not even think they were going in this direction. Yeah. I thought they were just buddies. And then suddenly it's like, this is a serious romance. And I'm like, I like Chamberlain is fine. Like, he's nice and they gave him personality. Like, he's one of the better characters. He's actually a better straight man than Zayday is.
I agree. And he has the right amount of ridiculousness.
Yeah.
Of, like, he's not paid to do this weird stuff for the hospital, but he does it anyway. He comments and likes and texts obsessively.
Yeah.
Doesn't understand how to communicate.
Yeah, so he's odd, but he is, he's, like, odd in, like, a more grounded way.
Mm-hmm.
And he is odd in a charming way.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because even, like, the weirdness of, like, helping people for no reason, like, that's weird, but it's charming.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, Zayday never seemed to actually... I never saw any romantic chemistry between those two characters, and Zayday never seemed to like him, so I wasn't, like, rooting for that to happen.
Yeah.
So it was just... at the same time, I didn't mind the scene with him and the three Chanels and them, like, trying to give him advice and stuff. I thought that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
But,
and it was a nice device of... of them blocking her on his phone, except for 1 hour of the day, since she said he was being overly clingy.
Yeah.
So, like, that worked out fine, but it was just... From the get-go of seeing Zayday with a stupid plot.
Well, the other thing is that, so her saying that's the get, what's the gag, like, a couple times, it was dumb. But then her saying it at, like, crucial moments was so bad. So bad.
Yeah.
It was really bad. So she gets to the costume, right?
Mm-hmm.
She goes by herself. She go like, what is she thinking? She's not armed or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Then she goes to the house of the killer. talks to her calmly as they explain about murder, drinks the tea.
Yeah, like you're saying, she walked in already saying, look, I have this fabric. I know for for whatever reason I decided, she's really not that old of a lady. Yeah. The old lady, it's like, fine, okay, I get it. Yeah. You go there and she serves you tea. Why would you agree to drink anything that a killer gives you?
Yeah.
Like, so stupid.
Really just dumb, and then making that stupid one-liner with the gag in the middle of that. It was just like, I don't care about you. Like, please, I honestly, like, I would have rather watched Chamberlain live. Just kill off, I would not care at all if Day-Day died.
I know, she's kidnapped again in some sort of weird swamp mattress thing. Like, well.
Swamp mattresses well, like, coming in.
Well, like, she's hovering over this, like, neon green liquid clearly, in a well.
It's clearly, what's his name, Cassidy's waterbed.
Oh, right. Of course. That's the reason he was so cold. Yeah. Yeah, it was just like, Zayday, I resent you. Like, I resent the time that you are taking up on this show.
And she was fine as a side character in season one. Yeah. I had no issue with her.
Like, some random stuff was like, this is weird. This is a weird choice. Not great in here. But most of the time, I was like, oh, hey, that's funny. Yeah, or that's, she's playing the straight man, whatever.
Yeah, and I even liked, like, the ridiculousness of her like, grandma buying her a chainsaw and things like that.
Right,
yeah, like,
right.
Yeah, like, there were good moments.
And then all she is this season is the investigator, the continued suspect of Denise Hemphill.
Yeah.
And now just
and it's like, a it's weird. Like, Grace was not great. Mm-hmm. I mean, we admit Grace wasn't great. But she at least, in addition to being an investigator, had her interpersonal relationship with Pete. She had her parental stuff. Mm-hmm. She had, you know, like she was finding out about her past. She was clashing with Chanel repeatedly. Like she had things going on that weren't just finding out who the killer is.
Even if she was boring or stupid a lot of the time. You're like, all right. At least she's somewhat consistent.
Yeah, yeah.
Zayday is not.
She was just... Grace's issue was that she was just kind of a bland final girl. Zayday's issue was she's barely a character.
Yeah, like, yeah. She's a mess.
Yeah.
Hope she dies. Anyway, so in the middle of all of this drama, Holt continues to have no spark with Chanel, so... Hester convinces her to learn a lot about his era and throw a dinner party for him. And it turns out to be a World War II 1940s dinner party.
I really enjoyed the sequence with Five as Shirley Temple and like everything.
Hester as Dorothy and of course Chanel as Rosie the Riveter. Yeah. It was just like, and he has this soldier head on. He's like, you think I'm 80 years old? It was just like one of those things where it's like, wow, this is cringy, but
amazing,
but good.
I was a fan of that.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So, you know, it's hard to describe jokes, but like,
yeah,
no, that was some good visual.
Yeah. And I thought the scenery. The actors are fun in that.
Yeah. Yeah. And we kind of could see from the background which Chanels are still alive. Mm. I think we're only down to like two extra Chanels. Yeah. So anyway, Holt, after this, he does decide to get back with Chanel. He wants to be with her. But
wait, there's more. Well, I mean, we kind of are skipping around as far as that Wes and Munch got attacked by the Green Meanie.
Yeah, this did happen before that's right.
They protected themselves with body spray.
Yeah, the so ultimate weapon. The Green Meanie jumps in and they flip over the bed. And very honestly, I was like, man, the Green Meanie is really trying to not stab them. Because it was like, oh, he stabs into the middle of the bed where they're unlikely to be. And he stabs onto the side of the bed where they're unlikely to be. And then he's like, body spray. And he wants to run out and she wants to fight.
He being Wes, not
Wes,
the Green Meanie.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Wes wants to run and Munch wants to fight. But the Green Meanie gets away.
Mm. So, well, from the very beginning, as soon as Wes showed up, I had a big theory here. Mm-hmm. We're going to keep it to the end, though.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Just wanted to, because you actually did mention it while we were watching the scene. But
I thought of it as soon as Wes showed up.
Okay, right. Yeah. All right, well, so after this, Holt shows up in Dean Munch's office and saying he wants to be with Chanel as a cover for the affair that he wants to have with Dean Munch. So she can get twice the porking.
Twice the pounding,
Pounding, right. Yeah. Porking is a Chanel word.
Yes.
Right. That and box.
Yeah. Gotta love it. Gotta love that pounding pork and...
Ew.
That pork pounder.
Ew. Anyway, from men of a certain age, how do you feel? Like, we got a lot in this episode, as you said, about sex stuff.
Yeah.
But how do you feel about the repeated joke again of, like, you know, young women don't know how to...
Well, it's hard screw, to say.
And it's all about, like, older women like Dean Munch. Like, this isn't a new joke.
No, it isn't. I mean, I wonder if you could even say that that might have something slightly to tie in with number three, to a degree, too. I mean, it's a little bit different, but I think it's more about... I mean, I think what they're aiming for more than anything is, A, to have Chanel... She's the joke of, oh, if you're gonna have sex with someone who's, like, super hot, it's gonna not be good because I never had a try, which is, like, a stereotype. And then, like, I think it's also, you know, they made so many jokes about her small boobs and all these things. It's just, like, she's supposed to be this, like, hot sexual being, but, like, she's really just, like, the worst.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, kind of the joke of the character. Yeah. I don't really get much out of it. I think the stuff why they put up so much of the older women being good is a reactionary, like, messaging thing. I think it is supposed to be like, oh, older women can be hot, and, like, we never talk about this. And so it's, like, played up comedically, but I do think it's supposed to be, like, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis can be hot. We do, like, early...
Jamie Lee Curtis looks amazing. Like, damn.
Yeah. And I think they played with it last season with Denise and Chad and stuff like that, too. And just being, like... I think it's partially just a joke, but I do think there's a hint of being just like, not everybody has to look like Chanel to be hot.
Yeah.
And I think that is there, and that is a positive idea.
It's a positive idea, but it's one of those things where they can't really seem to give a positive idea without shaming the opposite.
Yeah.
And that, again, never look to this show for the messaging or life lessons. And not even just that,
like, when you're going so over the top, it's like how much... You can't even tell how much of they're actually trying to have positive messaging, right? When it's like a joke that Dean Munch should be like the best sexual partner ever, is it really a positive thing? I don't know.
Men are interchangeable to her because as long as they know where the G spot is.
right. Yeah. So then are we ending out with the Chamberlain stuff?
Yeah. Okay. So Chamberlain has realized upon finding the hairball that there is a receipt for a chainsaw and a machete and a piece of the green cape fabric inside the hairball.
Mm.
And whose hairball is it? It's Wes's. So he finds where Wes is living and he goes to confront him.
Because, you know, the first thing you always do when you find out someone might have a machete is go to their house.
Alone. Just straight up alone.
Especially on this show. That's their favorite thing to do.
Of course.
Everybody's much morons. So then we get a big epic speech from Wes about how the Chanel's ruined Grace and ruined him. And
she was on the side of Katy Perry in the Taylor Swift Katy Perry feud. Her hats, she had no interest in her cute hats ever again. Like, oh my God. She's in the Stanford Medical Asylum. I mean, she's brilliant, but come on. Mental asylum.
I will say, it did remind me that this was a piece of the humor that I was kind of missing. Like, the whole... Wes, I thought, was funny. And then also, like, I feel like the humor about the hats and stuff is, like, a Grace humor that, like... Grace was never great, but Grace had her high points, and I kind of forgot about them.
And they that was, like, the kind of making fun of her that I was... that I was fully on board with, know, or just making fun of people.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I mean, I also...
with you in the hats. Yeah. It's like, all right, this is funny.
And I love stuff like he wanted to write the history of playlists or whatever. historical playlists.
Oh, God. Yeah. So he admits that he tried, after Grace was committed, he wanted revenge on the Chanels who he knew were working in this hospital.
Yeah.
So he got a bunch of hair clippings.
Yeah. Now he can go come and go as he pleases and take them all out.
Yeah.
So then he kills Chamberlain. Big moment. Now that is one of those few characters left that is like a little bit sad to see go, but it's also we only have two episodes left, so who really cares?
Right.
But I think it's interesting because I think they want you to wonder how involved Wes has been from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's somewhat clear that he's starting now. He's using the Green Meanie as a cover, and he's starting now. That's why he came now.
Mm-hmm.
But that there's a bigger thing going on here. And basically, as soon as she showed up, I was like, as soon as she showed up and was like, oh, like, she had much made, came between me and Grace, and now my life is awful, and I got fired, and mm-hmm. I'm a mess, and now I have this awful, issue in my stomach, and...
Well,
yeah.
That
well,
was on yeah, purpose.
Yeah, but I was first walking this, I was like, oh, Grace should be the killer.
Right.
And I still think Grace should be the killer, and it's like, it would not be that, I mean, I don't know, I assume it would not be that difficult to get Skylar Samuels back for one episode for the mm-hmm. finale, and that would just be perfect.
It would be so good.
Because, Nick, it's, I mean, like, Wes, yes, people can see it coming, obviously, because we saw it coming, but I didn't see it coming all season.
Right.
And it would, and we still are like, we don't know if the actress is coming back, so how likely is this? Right. And, like...
Another thing that I hadn't thought of is Hester knows who the killers are. Mm. I'm not saying that she would necessarily know that it's Hoffel involved, but I could see how she would know that it was Cassidy and Grace.
Yeah, especially Grace is her half-sister, right?
Yes, and also was also similarly committed to a mental asylum.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, down the food chain, she might have found out, or they might have started communicating somehow.
Yeah.
I would be a total fan of that.
I just think it would be really cool, because it's one of those few times where you can do something like this, where the whole, we always talk about how it would be so dramatically unsatisfying if the killer's revealed that it's someone we haven't seen all season.
Mm-hmm.
We've never seen before. You know, people are like, oh, what if it's this character that we've heard about but never seen? I'm like, that's not satisfying unless it's there secretly, it's someone we've seen, because mm-hmm. you want it to be someone you have some investment in. We have investment. We have a whole season of investment in Grace, but we're so distant from her now that it would be a huge, exciting surprise.
Yeah.
And I think I'd love to see Skylar Samuels play that role.
Yeah, go psycho. We started to love Hester when she went psycho.
Exactly.
Grace, psycho Grace. I'm for it.
I think
or more psycho Wes. Yeah. I love that too.
And she has she has so much motivation. She has motivation to not like the dean. She has motivation to not like her dad getting back together with the dean.
Mm-hmm.
I think Grace is the one who attacks her and the dean and her dad.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that makes more sense
than
Cassidy. And I think it makes more sense than Munch.
And I pointed out, there was a time earlier in the season where the killer attacked someone next to Zayday but didn't attack Zayday,
mm-hmm.
which would make sense for Grace, too.
Yeah.
She
attacked Chamberlain.
Was it Chamberlain?
Yeah. At one point, Chamberlain had his guts sliced open.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Which was a thing of Chamberlain might be safe because he survived an encounter already.
Yeah.
Remember, we totally forgot to discuss this, but their stupid baiting of the green meanie for
the cloak. Oh, yeah, that was dumb.
That was so dumb.
Yeah.
And also how somehow Zayday tasered not the giant body of the green meanie, but his sword. Like, what?
Also, just like, if you're going to trick him like that, have a shotgun
right?
Shoot him.
Right. Well, that might be harder to get your hands on than a taser. But have your grandma send you a chainsaw again in the mail, you know? So.
Yeah, no, I don't know. It was just a little silly. But I really want this Grace thing to pan out.
Me too.
Don't see anything else being nearly as satisfying as that.
No, this is like the Pete thing from season one.
Yeah, what about the Pete thing?
Like how he was revealed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about... we're at the costume shop, the idea of the mm-hmm. three costumes, and mm-hmm. they said two of the first one and the third one were from the same person,
mm-hmm.
And it was presumably the old lady, meaning Cassidy's mom.
Yeah.
We hear that the first costume she bought and her brother wore.
And he was a psycho who died a year later.
Yeah. Are we assuming that that's true and he's dead, or could
it? I'm assuming it's true.
You don't think it's John Stamos or anything like
that?
No. Probably not. And then the third one was the more recent one, also bought by the same person, presumably given to Hoffel by mm-hmm. Cassidy. And so it's that middle one that we don't know about.
Because it was sent via mail to a P.O. box.
Yeah. Now, the weird thing about that, well, I guess we don't know, I guess the assumption is that the one that went to the brother was given to Cassidy. We assume that Cassidy started the murders, and then the Grace, potential Grace character.
Heard about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to follow the Chanels is kind of how I understood it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I like the whole, like, every night we would say our prayers and sit and say, we will never allow this hospital to open. And it's like, well, clearly insanity runs in this family.
I will say one thing I liked with Zayday is the back and forth of her being like, well, they didn't do anything. Like, why? And she's like, why are you trying to bring logic
in? Right, that was good. Yeah, yeah.
That's what I say to you every time you ask a question when you watch the show.
That also accurate. So this episode definitely had more lows, and its highs weren't as high as in The Hand, but I would say it was still passable.
Yeah, no, I liked it, and I liked the Chamberlain death and the West
development. I like the West stuff.
Yeah. So yeah, that was certainly good, and I really hope I'm right about the Grace thing.
I do too.
Like, who else could even be remotely as satisfying? Because at one point I was like, oh, it could be three, and then, like, she and Cassidy could come together.
That'd be cute still.
But, like, I don't think that's not going to be what it is.
No, especially since she's very adamant on him reforming his killer ways. Yeah. She's like, I'm many things, but I'm not a killer.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah.
And at this point, it seems crazy for it to be, like, five.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess it could be Munch, but that's just, like, not that satisfying.
Yeah.
So I also feel like John Stamos would be a weird choice. So.
Again, I'm okay with them all getting into the costume at one point or another.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is they always do this, like, multiple killer thing, but there is still the who is the secret.
Yeah.
And that can't be anybody obvious, I feel like.
So we have two episodes left, and in these next two episodes, we have to have three killers resolved, Dean Munch's disease.
Yeah.
And potentially Denise coming back to life.
Do you think that it's possible, I think Denise will definitely come back to life, but do you think it's possible that Dean Munch will, like, end up sacrificing herself in some way, knowing that she's going to die anyway?
I don't know. Especially since I feel like I'm not sure if this show is conclusively not getting a third season.
Yeah.
She's still Dean a Munch. Giant draw for the show.
Yeah. That's a good point. She'll probably get cured at the end somehow.
Probably. If Zayday... and Zayday being rescued. That's another...
Yeah. So, I think at minimum... I'm actually going to watch this penultimate episode when it airs, probably. And I'll probably at minimum tweet about it. We'll probably do the two episodes together as a podcast.
But I might try.
Yeah. We'll see what we think. Yeah, so it's a lot to get done. I wonder if they're going to have learned any of their lessons from last year instead of... Because remember, the finale last year, like, as much as I liked some pieces of it, the whole, like, drawn-out thing of no conclusive battle, but instead just this long, weird discussion that was weird comedically. I hope they don't do that again.
Yeah, that'll be... Yeah. It would be nice if we actually had a confrontation of sorts. But like I said, there's so many loose ends or things to address that it's not clear.
The other problem with the confrontation is that we don't have a hero to fight the villain. Like, I don't care about seeing Zayday confront them. Preferably, I'd see, like, Three and Cassidy confront them.
That would be cute. Yeah, so that's the thing. I don't want them to, like, not have a happily ever after, but at the same time, he's a killer.
Also, what's going to happen with Hester? Hester's going to be a chaos.
Right. Hester has to do something.
Yeah. Agent of chaos.
I think she's going to have to do evil stuff.
Mm.
I don't know. This is a lot for two episodes.
Yeah, it's a lot. I'm okay with
but, I'm glad that they're not doing a 13-episode season.
Yeah.
That would be insane.
Well, it's going to lead right up until Christmas, so that'll be fun.
Merry Christmas and happy Scream Queens.
All right, guys. So you can tweet us in at ScreamPod on Twitter. Let us know your theories. Let us know what you think about the whole Grace thing.
Are you still watching? Like, listening aside, but how many people are watching Night of?
Yeah.
Or, like, super invested?
Yeah. I'm interested.
I'm curious.
The ratings are lower.
Yeah, they're getting lower, I think. Mm. I mean, they really dropped for episode 6.
Yeah.
Because wasn't that the first episode back?
I think you're right,
something like that.
Yeah.
And now they're up again a little, but it's been steadily decreasing compared to the premiere.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening, and scream you later.
Scream you later.
Scream you later.